Or you can turn your Bibles there to Exodus chapter number 17, and we'll begin reading there today, starting in verse number 8. It's good to be in the house of God today, isn't it? Amen. Amen. If you will stand in reverence to the Word of God, amen, amen. Stand in reverence to God. Amen, amen. We'll have service tonight. Do have service tonight. Start up at quarter till 6 for prayer, 6 o'clock for service. And unless the Lord changes my mind, I'm going to preach on the stirrings of revival tonight, the stirrings of revival. And I believe the Lord's put it on heart about that, the stirrings of revival. And so you pray for night service, and I'm thankful the Lord's given us both messages and ready to go. Now, that could change between now and tonight. Amen. I might be preaching about mamas tonight. Who knows? But anyway, right now, that's the way the Lord's leading. Amen. And we'll have service here tonight. All right, if you have your Bibles, Exodus chapter number 17, verse number 8. Look at it with me. Then came Amalek. Amalek is a picture in the Bible typical of the flesh, the old battle of the flesh. He says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. I'm going to preach on this today. The Lord will be in our help today on we need men like her. We need men like her. Amen. We need men like her in the church. We need men like her in our homes. We need men like her in our country. Amen. And, of course, that's H-U-R and not H-E-R. Amen. But we sure do need these men. There's something about him that I found out that I never knew before. And I began to study on this. Told you a couple of weeks ago, it seemed like the Lord's leading this way. And he hadn't changed it. And so we're going to preach on today about the church, or we need men like her. Amen. And so just stay with me today on this message. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for all the things you've done for us this day. And I thank you for your kindness in our life. And Lord, I pray now you'd get a hold of our hearts and you'd move in our hearts and we'd be faithful. Lord, as the men of the church here, as Lord Father's here today, many, Lord, I pray that you'd touch our hearts and you'd motivate us in the direction we need to go. And Lord, I pray we'd not be satisfied with status quo. And Lord, I pray we'd not live in melancholy. But Lord, we'd have an urgency and a fire and a spring in our step. And Lord, we be faithful. God, we need some men like her. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. You be seated today. Some church. We need some men like her. And so you look at y'all, kind of smile back at me. But I began to study at this, and I thought about it too, and I began to study this. I said, man, this is serious. And I want to look at just three things today. I want to give you three thoughts about this man named Her. As far as some things that stood out to me about his life, about his name, about not his name, but his life that stood out to me. Now, this is the first mentioned time in the Bible of this man. He's not mentioned any other time in Scripture. He's not brought up any other time before this time. But after this time, Brother Dallas, a very strange thing. After this time, God begins to talk about his lineage, where he come from, and lineage, where his lineage is going to. And that's amazing to me. There's something about this moment in time that stood out so strongly that I believe if this man had not done what he did at this time, we'd have never known anything about him. But he's very important throughout the Scriptures. So look at it with me today, if you will. The Bible says in chapter 17, verse number 10, we find out here's what it says. They're getting ready to fight Amalek. And the Bible said, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And the Bible says that Moses and Aaron and Hur. Now, first thing I see is that he was a timely man in that he showed up at the right time. He showed up at the right time. This was the one time when he was needed, and he showed up when he was needed. Amen. Now, it may have not been any other time. I'm not saying he wasn't faithful in other things before this time. We don't know. But it's important enough that God recorded his name there and said that he showed up at the right time. It's important to show up at the right time. Someone says, well, someday I'll get busy with God. No, you may not get busy at all. You may not have the opportunity. And so it's important to be a timely man and that we show up at the right time. Then number two, if you look at verse number 10, the Bible says, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Well, so we see him not only show up at the right time, but he goes up at the right time. Amen. He goes up at the right time. He goes up the hill at the right time. Amen. Someone says, well, I want to get some things out of my life, and I'll do that when I become old man. Let me just be very clear here today. I want to be very clear today. You need to get something instilled in your heart at a younger age, amen, that you might go up at the right time, amen. Listen, life is short. We don't, none of us know when we're, you say, well, I've been on fire one time. I'm just going to kind of lax off right now. Then you're not going up at the right time, amen. We're supposed to be going up all the time, amen. We ought to constantly be growing in the Lord, amen. Would you agree with me? And so this man, we see that he showed up at the right time. Number two, he goes up at the right time. And then look at Exodus with me on Exodus chapter 17, verse 11. It came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. And but Moses' hands were heavy. And so when he lifted his hands up, Israel prevailed. When he let his hands down, Amalek prevailed. We know that. But see, the Bible tells us the situation here. Well, you see, if you read that, you say, well, why didn't Moses ever let his hands down? Well, as the Bible tells us, because his hands were heavy. I mean, they were heavy. He got tired. He got tired. He got weary in body. And so all day long, think, you say, well, that ain't no big deal. Hey, the Bible's he's holding that rod over his hand. You think about it all day long. Come on, I could probably stand y'all up and have you hold it up a few minutes. Y'all be like, let's go to the house. I'm tired. Old Quill is. Amen. Amen. And so, you know, he had to hold it up. His hands get tired. He'd get weary. And he'd see the battle go bad. And I believe he'd push it back up there and hold it as long as he can. And he'd begin to get weary. And he'd see the battle go wrong. And I believe Moses push it back up again and say, oh, I want to hold my hands up. But the weakness of Moses' flesh did not allow him to hold it there all the time. The Bible said Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat there on, listen, they didn't just hold up his hands. They let the man of God rest. The Bible said he put a stone under him and put it under him and he sat there on, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. The one on the right, the one on the one side, and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying here's a man that shows up at the right time. Here's a man that goes up at the right time. And here's a man that holds up at the right time. Amen. I mean, there's just everything about him. He's doing what he ought to be. What was he? He was a timely man. It's timely, man. Listen, you say, hey, I can just show up Sunday morning and that's good enough. I can just show up on Sunday night. Listen, you never know when God is needing you the most at that very moment. You never know when the man of God is weary. Never know, the man of God may look around and say, I just don't know if I can do it. Listen, church, listen. I don't think anybody's listening. I don't think anybody's listening while we're preaching. You see people getting cold and everything like this. Had he might be around and just let his hands down. And then somebody says, no, we ain't going to let his hands down. We're going to hold the man of God's hands up. We might win this battle. Amen. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you one thing. I believe with all my heart that her was a timely man. I believe he knew the importance of the time in his life. And listen, from this very moment, when we read him the first time in Scripture, it marks something different in his life that stands out the rest of the time on this world. I'm telling you, it affects his family. It affects everybody around him. Everything he does. Why? Because when it was time for him to do what he's supposed to do, he just did it. Amen. And so he was a timely man. I read over there in Psalms 90 and 12, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Number our days. Know that, listen, life is a vapor. We need to understand that if we're going to do anything, if we're going to apply ourselves, we need to apply it early. Get it done. Amen. I read over there, I was reading about what one person said, it don't matter if you kick a bucket over or you punch a hole in the bucket. Either way, it gets empty. Life's passing through. Some of us might kick the bucket tomorrow. Amen. I mean, some of us might go die tomorrow. We don't know that. But there's one thing about our life. It is draining away. It is draining away. It is draining away minute by minute. And if we're going to do anything, men, if we're going to do anything for God, we better get it done now. Amen. Amen. So that's the simplest thing. First of all, men like her are timely men. Then not only are men like her timely men like her are trusted men. Take your Bible, look at Exodus chapter 24. You have your Bible open? Keep your Bible open. If you have a pew Bible, it's page 64 there. One of those black pew Bibles, you can stay right with us. Now look at Exodus chapter number 24. In Exodus chapter number 24, look at verse number 14, all the way down to verse number 14. The Bible says, and he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. Now, I've never seen this verse before. Boy, it just stand out like, well, again, stand out like a big old beacon like light. Now, what is happening is Moses is getting ready to go up the hill, not to get the Ten Commandments, but to get the pattern of how the tabernacle is going to be built. All right, he's getting ready to go up there to get the pattern. And if you want to put it in modern terms, if you want to put it in the age of grace, he's getting the pattern of how the church ought to be. Amen. He's getting the pattern of how the church ought to be. The man of God is going up the hill to get the pattern for how the church ought to be. Amen. To get the message from God of how they ought to lay it out there, how witness and worship, everything ought to be. And by the way, it's a picture of heaven and it's a picture of Calvary, everything about it. I mean, it's amazing passage of scripture. And he says, I'm getting ready to go up that hill. And he says, while I'm gone, I'm going to leave two men here. I'm going to leave Aaron and I'm going to leave her. Now I wonder why he chose her. Aaron, I can understand. Aaron was a high priest. But why her? You'd think maybe when Moses was in that time when his arms was weary, you'd think that maybe meant something to him. You'd think he maybe got thinking about old her and went up there with him. Hey, man, that man like her stood up on that hill with him, had to lift his arms up. You'd think it might have meant something to the man of God. I think so. But there's more than that. If you study your Bible, you'll find out this. Notice there are three or four things about in this verse of Scripture. Right here in Exodus 24:14. There's several things about this. Number one, notice what he says. He says, tarry ye here for us. Tarry ye here for us. Now, Aaron and Hur knew their place. They knew their place. Their job was not to go with Moses. Their job was to stay here and tarry here in that place. And so they knew their place they're supposed to be. Notice what it says. Tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, that word, look, behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Why are they with you? Well, they know their position. He said, now y'all tarry here. Here's your place. And here's your position. Notice what else it says. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. That is amazing. That is amazing testimony to her. Now, Aaron, I can understand. But to tell them, here's a man by her that is not of the priestly lineage and says, if there's an issue, if there's something you want to talk about, there's something you want to get settled, if you can't get a hold of Aaron, you go to her. If you can't go to her, you go to Aaron. Amen. Boy, there's something about that. He said, if you got an issue, there's a man here that can be trusted to do the will of God and give you good guidance and good leadership and be lined up right. I'm not even worried about it. I'm going to go up here. I'm going to find out how the church should be. I'm going to find out how the tabernacle will be. God's going to tell me and I'll be back in a little bit, but I'm going to leave Aaron and her. And why I'm going, I know they got the man of God, the mind of me. I know they got the mind of God, and I can leave them here knowing that they're going to testify to the very same thing that I would say myself. Well, I'm telling you right now, that is a tremendous testimony, Brother Ty. That is a man that's been trusted with over 1 million Jews that might have a question. Over 1 million Jews might have a question. And I can leave these two because I believe they can do it. That is awesome. Notice this. He left two men by the name of Aaron and Hur. Now Hitchcock's Bible's name, that's not Alfred. That's not your movie, Hitchcock. Hitchcock's Bible names says this, that their names have two meanings. Aaron's name means to be powerful and great like a mountain. To be high and mighty like a mountain. Amen. So if you look at him, he's leaving a man who is powerful. Aaron is powerful. Amen. And then he leaves another man by the name of Hur. And the name Hur there means to be white linen, to have a witness, to have liberty. It has the meaning or the implication of somebody that's pure. Is that good? If you'll now remember what I said. Moses is going up the mountain to get the symbol, to get the pattern of how to build the tabernacle. You listening? He's going up the mountain to get that pattern. And he's going to be back in a little bit. Now, in chapter number 32 of Exodus, You find out that Moses goes up the hill again. You know what he goes up for this time? To get the Ten Commandments. Do you know who he leaves in charge when he goes up to get the Ten Commandments? One person. You know who that is? Aaron. Everything went good when he left Aaron and her. But when he left power alone, without purity, things went awry. Amen. I'm going to say this. It don't matter how much power you got. If you got no purity in it, things will go awry in the church. It don't matter how much somebody, let me tell you what I know. It don't matter how much you know. If you got no purity about you, your power ain't worth a hill of beans. If you got no purity about you, it won't be long. Somebody gets you convinced you ought to serve something else.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Moses, I think when he come back down the hill, he probably wish he'd left her there. We need some men like her, don't we?
Amen.
Need some purity in the house of God.
Yes.
Clean. Pure. Oh, I got knowledge. I got wisdom. I got authority. That's good. But power without purity will corrupt itself every time. You listening? Know her the second time. Things went awry. So we see men like her, trust me. I was reading about two men that were duck hunting. They sat out there duck hunting for about 2 or 3 hours. Nothing happened. Finally, one lonely, way on the horizon, one lonely duck begins to flutter over the horizon. You know those men. Oh, he comes here. He's coming. By that time, got real close. Hella jumps up. Boom! Duck just keeps on going. Looks over his friend. He says, John, you are witnessing a miracle. He said, what do you mean? He said, that is a flying dead duck. You know what a lot of men are counting on? They're counting on their poor aims in life to overcome by a miracle. They're going to claim a miracle when there's been poor aims in life. That's no flying dead duck. That's a duck you missed. I ain't never shot anything yet. When it hit it, didn't come down.
Amen.
Somewhere. Amen? A lot of people count on a lot of miracles. They count on God to pull out their messes. Amen right there.
Amen.
We need some men with some aim.
Amen.
Purity is important. Oh, I'll do what I want to do and it'll work out. It won't work out. Ain't never worked out yet. Ain't never started working out yet. Why makes you think you can do what you want to do and everything will work out? Won't work out that way. Poor aim. Don't make dead ducks. Number three, and I'm done. Men like her need timely men. Men like her are trusted men. You can trust them. You can leave them with a job and know they'll be lined up with God. Well, that's a great call there. And then number three, you'll find out the Bible. You can turn your Bible if you want to. You can turn up Exodus 31. But while you're turning, I want to give you this verse out of Proverbs. We all know it. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it.
Amen.
We've heard that quote all our lives, haven't we? You know what men like her are? They're training men. They train their children. Let me show you what I mean by that. Someone says, I'm raising my kid. No, you're either raising a child or raising a kid. You know what a kid is, don't you? That's a baby goat. I wrote down some things. A child, and here's how you raise a child. You teach them about Christ, teach them about holiness, give them instruction, give them love, and give them discipline. C-H-I-L-D. Child, C-H-I-L-D. Christ, holiness, instruction, love, discipline. Here's how you raise a goat or a kid. Here's how you raise a goat. You give them all they want, give them options to everything to do, let them teach them to be arrogant and be tardy in their life. And you will raise a goat. You listen to what I'm saying? Let me say it again. Give them everything they want. Give them options to every all your commands. Teach them to be arrogant and be tardy in their life. And don't be surprised if you don't raise a goat. You know what a godly father is? You know what a man like her is? A man like her is a training man. Let me show you what I mean by that. Exodus chapter number 31. We're going to walk a few chapters here, but I just want to give it to you. Exodus 31, look at what it says. Exodus 31, verse number 2. It says, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Now, God has called this man for a specific purpose. He is not father called. He is God called. He's God called. You know what Bezalel did? You know what Bezalel did? He is the artificer of everything that is metal or wood in the entire tabernacle. Everything that's built, not the cloth, but everything that's metal or wood, he built it. And God gave him the wisdom to build it so. You know who he is? He's the grandson. He's the grandson of Hur. Here's a man that held up Moses' hands when he was weary. Here's a man when Moses was able to go up the hill, he was to be trusted while he's gone. No doubt, no wonder the blessing of his family is that his grandson gets to be the one with the wisdom to build everything in the tabernacle that is of gold, silver, bronze, or wood. Any metal or wood is inside the tabernacle. Now think about that. So he is God called. His name means in the shadow of the Almighty. In the shadow of the Almighty. Okay? Now take your Bible and turn over to Exodus 35. Now we are going somewhere with it, I promise you. But this is the way it gives it to us. So I just want to get you this. Exodus 35, verse number 29. Not too much turning there. Look at verse number 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be by the hand of Moses. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And in Exodus chapter 36, verse number 3, it says they received the offering and began to build the things of the tabernacle. And so we see that his grandson was God called and gold trusted. Amen. They took up the offering and they brought it to him and he began to build. He could be gold trusted. You could trust him. I wonder who trained him to be trusted. Hey, you know what I'm saying? I wonder who trained him to be trusted. I wonder who could be left with anything. Anything. And the man of God could walk up and find out what God wanted to do and know everything's all right. I wonder if that man put an impact on his grandson's life. That all the things, the gold of the tabernacle, just be handed over to him. And he'd just start building. He's gold trusted. He's God called. In Exodus 38:22, look at it with me. Exodus chapter number 38, verse number 22, look. And Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. I mean, he's God called, he's gold trusted, and he got busy. And he done everything that God told him to do, exactly what to do. You know what? He even hammered out that great old lamp there that held those seven things, those oil lamps there. The Bible says that thing was hammered out of one piece of gold. To this day, they don't know how he did it. He took a piece of gold and started hammering that thing. Went right up into a candlestick. Hammer, 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 right up into a candlestick. Hammer, 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 right into a candlestick. Made of one piece of gold. Hey, they didn't have forgers back there. He hammered it. And it had to be hollow so I could pour the oil in. Wow. I work for a company there. We can't even figure out how to make a good hollow. Well, all those forging things. He did it with a hammer. It's amazing. The wisdom of God in his life just did what he was supposed to do. What was he doing? He was standing in the shadow. Just make it according to the shadow. Now watch this. That was in Moses' time. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, it's worth looking. Come on now. Y'all don't mind we take a minute, do you? You did cut the beans on low, didn't you? 1 Kings chapter number 4. Look at it. Look at it. It's worth it. 1 Kings chapter number 4. 1 Kings chapter, we're going to bring all this together, don't worry. 1 Kings chapter number 4, verse number 7. Look at it. And Solomon had 12 officers over all Israel, which provided victuals for the king and his household, each man his month and a year, made provision. These are the names of the son of Hur in Mount Ephraim. Now this is way down the road. This is Solomon. But the Bible says when the king needed provision for the household, the kingship, you had somebody that was a provider, and the first ones mentioned was out of the household of Hur. Here's somebody else that sees a need and gets it done.
Amen.
Now notice this. Wonder who taught him that. Amen. Wonder who taught him that. Got your Bible open? Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 5. I know we're turning. Come on. 2 Chronicles. This is worth it, man. This is getting exciting. Look at the Bible. Look at the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Notice this. You know what's getting ready to happen? Solomon's getting ready to build the temple. Don't read ahead. Solomon's getting ready to build the temple. David's laid aside all the things that he had in his life. All those gold, all those things. He's made recommendations. Set it all aside. They're ready to build the temple. And he wants to build the temple. Notice what it says in verse 5. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the congregation sold unto it. You know what he did? He got that ark of the, he got that brazen altar, put it out in front. You know what the brazen altar's a picture of, don't you? That's where he took all those animals and sacrificed on them. You know what's a picture of? It's a picture of Calvary. He got that thing and put it on there, and the Bible says that Solomon, before he began to build that temple, before they built the first thing on it, he saw God's face at the altar, which Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had built. He said, you know what? What's worked before? Work again, amen. Before I start off from the tabernacle, before I make the step from the tabernacle to the temple, I'm going to make sure I'm lined up with God. And I know Bezalel was lined up because he's the son of Uri, because he's the son of her. Boy, we need some men like her, don't we? Isn't that good? Not done yet. That's in Solomon's time. Got your Bible? Turn the book of Nehemiah. You say, preacher, Nehemiah? That's way down the road. Yeah, it is, ain't it? Ezra, Nehemiah. Look at it with Nehemiah chapter number 3. Y'all know Nehemiah, don't you? You're going to build back the wall. Going to bring revival. Going to bring revival. Look at with me in verse number, look at chapter 3, verse 9. And they're building the wall. And next unto them repaired Rephaiah, the son of who? Hur, the ruler of half part of Jerusalem. He is half the ruler of Jerusalem when he come back. Now, you know what it is? You say, is this the same Hur? No. It means that God's got a Hur for every generation. God's got a man like her for every generation to get the job done. I mean, one that would build the things, one that when he built lasted, and one that would keep on building when they need to rebuild.
Amen.
God always has a her, a man like her, in every generation. Here's a $64,000 question. Who's the man like her in our generation? Can I give you one more? And I'm done. Because I believe it's standing by its own. Look at 1 Chronicles. Turn back, 1 Chronicles. I'm done after this. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 2. Oh, preacher, I know all this. Well, okay, just let me enjoy it then. Look at this. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 2, verse number 19. 1 Chronicles. Remember I said earlier, now don't read, look here. Look here, church. Remember I said earlier, we never heard about her till he held up the man of God's arms. Till he went up. He showed up, he went up, he held up. We never heard of him, have we? We don't know nothing about where he came from or what's going to happen. But now we've already heard and we've seen some things, what's going to happen. You know what God's going to do in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings? He's going to record the heritage. Listen to me. He records the heritage of her in the Chronicles of the Kings. I need to sit down for a minute. Here's somebody was nobody till he showed up and it went up and it held up and all God says, write his name down with the kings. Woo! You ready? Woo! I was just shout about that one. Look at verse number 19. And when Azuba was dead, that's a woman. You know who she was? She was Caleb's wife. Notice what it says. And when Azuba was dead, Caleb took on him Ephrathah, where we get Ephrathah, where you get Bethlehem of Ephrathah. By the way, it's recorded that Hur was the father of Bethlehem. By the way, when it said he was over, good gracious church, when he was over half Jerusalem, he was over the half that was still there. He was over the half that was of the tribe of Judah. The other half was Benjamin. That means he's in the lineage of Christ. Just thought I'd let you know. God came through a good lineage group. Amen. It's a crooked path, but he found the right one to find to go through. Amen. That's going pretty good. Just thought I'd throw that in. That don't cost you nothing. Watch this. Azuba was dead. Caleb took unto him Ephrathah, which bare him Hur, and Hur begat Uri, and Uri begat Bezalel. Now, can I tell you something about this? Do you know, y'all know who Caleb was? Him and who? Joshua went in the spotted land. Remember that? Remember when nobody else said you can't go, we can't go, can't make it, can't go? They said we can. God is well nigh able. Amen. He's able. He's with us. We can take it. They said you can't take it. We can take it. But they wouldn't do it. And God penalized Israel. And for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. And that whole generation died except for two men. And one of them was Caleb and the other was Joshua. Now Caleb had his wife and Caleb's wife, Azuba, died. And he took another wife, and when he did, he had a son whose name was Hur. Now, and Hur is the one that held up. Now listen! Listen! Do you know what Caleb's name means? It means to yelp like a dog. It means to be an old dog. We just had a good Sunday school lesson on that. Be an old dog. Caleb's an old dog. All right? He has a grandson by the name... A guy who has a son by the name of Hur, which means what? Purity. Right? To be pure. And he has a great-grandson, which name means stand in the shadow of the Almighty. Isn't that good? Now, is anybody wondering something? I told you the great-grandfather's name. I told you the grandfather's name. And I told you the great-grandson's name. Anybody want to know what the middle one means? I did. I said, well, Lord... And I got studying. Every time you find Uriah, if you read it, you'll find that Hur had a son, grandson through Uriah. Uriah was his son. Uriah was a son of Hur. Hur, Uriah, Bezalel, Caleb. Here you go. An old dog, I'm going to give it to you in story form. An old dog turned to God, turned his life around from dog to God. He had a son who was known as being pure and always showed up at the right time. He had a grandson, Uri, who means to hold the flame. And he had a great-grandson who names mean to stand in the shadow of the Almighty. You know what Uri did? He just held the flame to hand it to the next generation. What a godly lineage. You know why I know it's godly? Because every time he wants to talk about Bezalel, he always mentions Uriah, the one that held the flame. Now I ask you this question this morning. Are you an old dog that if you just turn your life to God, he could turn everything around? Are you pure like her? Shows up the right time? Are you one to hold the flame up? Or are you one that's standing in the shadow? Because that's who God's looking for. He needs some men like her. That'll show up, go up, and hold up the man of God. And then God says, you know what I'll do? I'll label you in the King's Chronicles. Amen. It's amazing what God can do with our old dog. When my dad surrendered to preach, everybody says, Well, you ought to go preach. Said you no count for nothing else. That's what they told him about. Did you know that, James? Ain't that what he said? Ain't that what he said? Am I lying? You tell me, ain't that what he said? He ain't no count for nothing else. Now, I don't know why. He worked 15-hour days in pastoring, but he wasn't no count for nothing else. I disagree.
Amen.
You say you're partial, sorta. Found out what my name means. Just thought I'd tell you. You know what my name means? It means tenderhearted. I don't know why Daddy named me that. It looked like I was the hard-headedest one of the bunch. We need some men to show up. That's what's missing in our generation. Is men that will show up, go up, and hold up.
Amen.
Listen, don't look at me hard. Go around the churches today. You'll find out the ladies are ones bringing the vast majority. It's the ladies that are bringing the children to church. We don't need some men like H-E-R, her. We need some men like H-U-R, her. Some are just pure. Just love the Lord. Just going to do what's right because it's right. It's just right. It's just what, it's not glamorous, but it's just right. It's not glorious, but it's just right. It don't seem like it's going to get me anything, but it's just right.
Amen.
And then while you're doing that, God flips open the book and writes you down with the kings.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, the Bible says in the New Testament, it said He makes us to be kings and priests. And he flips open the book and he says, Brother Ty Hems, just use you. Brother Ty Hems, Brother Freddie, I'm going to write you down with the kings. I'm going to write you down with the kings. In the Chronicles of the Kings. Let's all stand. His own daddy said he's a dog. Called him a dog. Whoa, what a difference when Jesus passed by. I don't know how to give an altar call this morning. I think I'm just going to give an altar call. Just let some one of the pianists come play something. And while they're playing, I listen. Don't do it for show. But gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I look at that and I think, man, that's someone who's just faithful. Just sees that needs to be done and just does it. Didn't have to have a committee meeting to do it. He just went up. Boy, I mean trusted, man. Not only timely, but trusted. Moses says, I got to get up here and find out what God... I'm going to trust you. You just stay here and take care. You're not a priest. You don't have to be a priest to be trusted. Let me say this. You don't have to be a preacher to be trusted. You don't have to be a preacher to be trusted. Preachers aren't the only ones that are supposed to be right. Preachers aren't the only ones supposed to be right. And you can train. You can train them. You're going to train them to do right, or you're going to train them to do wrong. And they are, listen, I can remember walking through the field and Daddy walked me, tried to take them big old steps in Daddy's footprints. I remember that. Just like everyone. Daddy, now, you know what? My daughter likes fishing and likes football because Daddy likes football. But I believe she loves the Lord because of what the Lord did for her. I know that. Hey, you listen to what I'm saying today, Daddy. They are walking in your footsteps. Let me give you this. Hey, Grandpa, they are walking in your footsteps. So I don't believe it. What about Bezalel? Was he not walking in the footsteps of her? Was he not walking in the footsteps of Caleb? Great-grandpa? Hey, they look to see how you were living. They look to see if you're a used-to-be or you're on fire. And you're either helping them or hurting them. They ain't no in-between. They ain't no used-to-be. They ain't no used-to-be. They ain't no used-to-be. Hey, let me tell you this. If my dad had lived all him those years, and got down before he died, and the last few years quit on God, I'll tell you one thing, it'd be hard to stand in the pulpit this morning and say anything about him. It'd be hard to stand in the pulpit and say anything about him. All I talk about is how my dad used to be. Listen to what I'm saying? Ain't no used to be in God's service. When you become used to being in God's service, is wondering why you're still here. You hear what I'm saying? Altar's open this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. You need to come. Won't hurt a bit. Won't hurt a bit. Step up. Step up. Go up. Hold up. Won't hurt a bit. Won't hurt a bit. Her was never recorded. We knew nothing about her till he did what was right. And all of a sudden, God begins to tell everything future and everything to pass. I believe he hadn't showed up that day. I don't believe God ever recorded anything about him. He'd just been one of those millions of other Jews that just passed on and passed away. Passed on, passed away. And if you're here this morning, listen, it doesn't matter if you're a man or woman, it doesn't make any difference. I'll ask this question. How many raise their hands and say, "Preacher, don't look up. Preacher, I know that I'm saved this morning." How many can say that? Raise their hands and say, "I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved." Amen. You put your hands down. One for one, raise your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved, but I'd like to be. Just pray for me. I'm not going to come embarrass you. I'm not going to count number. I won't do that. There ain't no benefit for me to do that whatsoever. Just want to pray for you if you just pray for me." Is there one? Well, you can always step up. It's always an opportunity to step up. As long as you got breath in these lungs, there's opportunity. What an impact. What an impact. Brother Bill, I've looked those verses of Scripture what I read to you this morning. Now, there's an altar here, it's fine. Listen, I wondered why Moses didn't leave her when he went to go get the Ten Commandments. Doesn't make y'all wonder that. Here's what I believe. If you look at the timeline, it's most likely her was not around anymore. Her probably passed from this life to the next. There's a recording of what happened of his son, his grandson. Things begin to pick up. But really, there was no reason. There was no negative thing. There's no reason for Moses to have to leave just power, not purity, behind. But purity evidently had died. And I've already told you, when purity dies, power goes corrupt. Gentlemen, listen to me today. You know what we're known for? Being strong, handling problems. Strong. Strong. Power without purity is corrupt. Not sometime, every time. Throughout the world's recorded history, anybody had power that didn't have purity, corrupt. Corrupt. Well, we need purity. We need purity in our men in this country. Purity in our churches. Purity in our countryside. I'm tired of reading stories of men that had power, no purity. Corrupting. You can be seated this morning. Amen. Elijah, I'm going to ask you, if you will, can you help me out, Gunnar Lace? She knows what it is.